Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
As Chicago works from home, the score is there for you.
Thank you guys so much for what you do. The score, I'm a loyal listener to these tough times. It's a relief to know I can turn you guys on my dial and have you be here.
We have the score to get us through this. Thanks for being out there. You guys are a breath of fresh air. The whole score team makes it a lot easier, so I applaud you for it.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Next one comes from Ad Shuck. He said, could you and the guys talk about who was the most intimidating player slash indoor coach your first big league camp?
I would say mine, John Lester, 100%. My first camp, I was in a locker where it was Lester, Lackey, oof, and then I was next to Lackey.
Oh.
But I actually was living in Austin at the time. I knew he was living in Austin, so I kind of struck up some conversation like, oh man, you're from...
You open live, the door a
yeah,
little
like,
bit.
Like, you live in Austin. I live in Austin. Nicest dude in the world. Like, from that point, he was like, oh, every day he'd be like, hey, Ian, how you doing? But Lester, next to him, did not say a word to me. But I will say about Lester is you don't think that he knows who you are or like or anything like that, and then you get your first hit, and he leaves a bottle of Ace of Spades with like a congratulatory message in your locker, and you're like, that's the coolest dude that is headed to the Hall of Fame, super veteran, 3 World Series rings, and he's willing to do that.
That's cool. With Ian Happ on his podcast, The Compound, that involves Ian and a rotating cast of Cubs and Cubs prospects. We actually played some of it recently on this show. And Ian Happ is on Twitter at @IanHapp_1. And he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Ian, how's life?
It's good. It's good. In Arizona, staying inside, trying to stay as prepared as possible, but have the podcast to keep me and the guys I'm staying with busy.
So how are you staying physically prepared? What kind of things can you do on your own or with, you know, one or two other guys as safely as you can?
Yeah, you know, we're throwing, we're working out. We have, we've turned our garage driveway into a gym. You know, took a lot of equipment from the Cubs facility here in Mesa. And then actually we've been playing a lot of tennis to stay active. So, you know, body feels good. But yeah, we're definitely missing out on the baseball.
How about on the mental health side of things? I mean, what else can you do? Because you guys are competitors and you were so close to being ready to getting to that point in camp where you're just itching to go and begin that 6-month competitive grind. What advice have you gotten from the Cubs or from other professionals? How do you stay mentally where you need to be and where it's healthy for you?
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part of this whole thing. You know, for me specifically, it's just about staying positive. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We're going to play baseball games at some point, and that's really what we're looking forward to. What's keeping us going is knowing that at some point we're going to put that uniform back on and we're going to get to play for the fans, and that's how positive you have to be.
So what's the story behind the podcast, behind your desire to get it going and your concept for it, what you envision it to be and what it's meant to you?
Yeah, it was something that I wanted to do. I wanted to do a podcast for a little while, and this time gave me an opportunity to do that. But the three guys I'm staying with, I said, hey, we're going to start recording a podcast and see where it goes. And it's been great so far. The response from the fans has been awesome. And just to be able to shed a little light and give people something to listen to and something to look forward to in this time has been the goal. And we're going to keep doing it as long as people are willing to listen.
I know Dakota Mekis has been a part of it, Zach Short and Nico Horner. I saw the video of everybody opening baseball cards, which was fun to see. Mm-hmm. And you had some terrific guests on there. You met the aforementioned John Lester. We played the stuff with Kyle Schwarber that was really some of the most, it's as relaxed as I've heard Schwarber in an interview. You have a unique opportunity to get people to let their guard down a little bit. And I imagine that can be a blessing and a curse, because what's out there is out there now. Once it's in the bloodstream, guys don't sort of unsay stuff. So it's you have an opportunity to maybe get in to crack into some guys the way that somebody perhaps in my position may not be, because somebody comes into an interview with a media member with a different sense of protectiveness that they won't have around you.
Yeah, that's been one of the unique opportunities for me is, I'm just talking to my friends, and then we get to let the fans hear that. So I do all the editing. I make sure that I'm not gonna let anything out that I wouldn't personally want out there. So, but it's been so cool just to hear some of those stories, some of the ones from John and from Schwab I hadn't even heard. And so to get that opportunity, it's been really fun, and I think that's what the fans have enjoyed.
I think it's also good that you and seemingly all the guys in this podcast are baseball fans. And I've been around some professional athletes who weren't really necessarily fans of their sport. It was just their job. It's what they did for a living, and they didn't really spend time talking about trivia or history or other people around the league, because it just wasn't that important to them. It does seem to matter to you guys. You guys do seem to be fans of the game while also playing the game as your job. And that comes through. That you can't fake.
Yeah, I wish that we could get more of some of the genuine debates that we have like throughout the day about different players or guys who are underrated in the league. I think it's just the genuine banter that we have on a daily basis is pretty cool.
Yeah, the baseball cards were fun, too, to see how you guys reacted to seeing other stars in the league. Like, oh, it's Ken Griffey Jr. And someone's using a vintage card. And like, you know, Willie McCovey came up there and just seeing. And I know that, you know, these kids are kids, but that just it really said something to me to watch pro athletes enjoying opening baseball cards like we did for so many years. That was fun.
Yeah, we're gonna have some more videos coming out. We're trying to capture more of what's going on. So in the next couple of days, we'll have a few more dropping, and we're gonna keep doing that along with the podcast, just to try to give even more of a window into what's going on here on a daily basis.
So when you asked that question of like most intimidating, I wasn't exactly sure where that was gonna go, because I thought it was gonna like, you know, on the field of somebody you faced, and it's like, holy crap, I gotta face this guy now. But you were talking about just the way guys sort of behaved in the clubhouse or around you. And it's so perfect that Lester is that guy, because he's really a nice guy. But when he wants to be sort of in character, when he's being, you know, tough guy John Lester, that you can sense that coming from a mile away, you know, because that's real.
Yeah, he's so focused throughout the day on what he's trying to do, which is why he's so great. It doesn't matter if he's throwing a bullpen that day, if he's trying to get a workout in, he's just locked in on what that's going to be for the day. And John's one of my best friends now, and I've had the opportunity to do a lot of really cool things with him. But definitely my first camp, especially having a locker that close to him, it was, oh my God, that's John Lester. And he's not saying a word to me.
How ambitious are you going to get in guest booking? Like, how are you saying, well, wait a second, maybe I can get this guy. Maybe it takes a couple of phone calls, or maybe you call in a favor through a friend of a friend or a friend of an agent. Like, what are you thinking, like, in, you know, dreaming on any huge names or making some news on this thing?
I think we're just going to let it grow organically right now. Being a player for the Cubs has definitely really helped. There's a lot of great Cubs fans who are willing to talk and willing to be on the podcast. We have a good guest lineup that we feel really good about, and we'll continue to roll those out. But I think anybody that wants to be on the podcast or any really cool guests, we're definitely open to. We bounce names around all the time and say, oh, wouldn't that guy be cool? Wouldn't that guy be cool? And we want to keep it really broad. You know, we want to talk to golfers and basketball players and NASCAR drivers. And there's, you know, some actors who are Cubs fans that we want to talk to. So there's the list is pretty broad, and that's what we want to do. We want to get a bunch of different really cool perspectives.
Talking with Ian Happ on Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. I'm intrigued by what you said about tennis. And when I think about it, especially from your perspective as a switch hitter, to be able to have that repetitive tracking of a moving ball from both sides of the plate, so to speak, it has to be. I imagine you're not too bad at that sport.
I think we've all come a long way in the few weeks that we've been here. There's been a lot of YouTube videos watched, trying to figure out the best motions for ourselves. I might be the weak link in the house, unfortunately, but I think my game has regressed in the last 10 days, but it just gives us something to be competitive about. And I think that's, for us, really important. We go out, we have doubles matches, we have singles matches, and just to be able to be out there and compete and get frustrated over being bad at something, it's good mental practice.
It's always amazed me that at a certain level, the way an athlete can have these program your body in different ways to do different things without interfering elsewhere. And I remember talking to Chris Bryant about his golf swing. And about, believe me, like when I get in my own head about my own golf swing, which never looks the same twice, that when your livelihood depends on your baseball swing, your livelihood depends on replicating a certain thing, to then complicate it with other things, how do you make sure that you can almost like turn a channel in your mind and say, okay, now it's time for this athletic movement, and it has nothing to do and it's not going to interfere with anything you have pre-programmed elsewhere?
Yeah, I think that we've done it for so long, and we're so in tune with our body movements when we're hitting that you know when you have a bat in your hand, your body's doing what it's supposed to be doing. Your body understands where it's supposed to be. And when you're doing other athletic movements or a golf swing or tennis, baseball can definitely bleed into those because you haven't done it enough. But when you have a baseball bat in your hand, like it's for me personally, I'm so in tune with where my positions are and what I need to be doing and what I need to be feeling. But I've just never had an issue with anything else coming into that.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by that endlessly because when you watch hockey players play golf, or you just see these crossovers of unique hand-eye ability from people who are able to do it at an elite level. You know, the scrubs among us that have to have everything so in order and so perfect and so just right on that day. It's almost unfathomable to me that you're able to just say, oh yeah, well, I'm going to do this and it's not going to be a big deal and I can get right back to doing whatever it is I do. But you guys can be competitive at anything. I would think, don't you have like a bumper pool or a dartboard or something around that giant house of yours?
Yeah. I mean, there's competitions all over the place. We were actually talking last night about a compound Olympics. So we're trying to figure out what all is going to go into a compound Olympics. I think there's going to be some basketball horse in there somewhere. Maybe some swimming. We might have frisbee golf or spike ball. So we're just trying to get the events down, but I think a compound Olympics is going to be coming soon.
Well, there's a video I have to send you, because recently when we were down in Mesa for spring training, visiting you guys, when we had the entire SCORE group, all the shows were staying at a big house together, and we did that. We did a progressive Olympic relay, which was two teams against each other in various events with one leading to the next, where one guy has to drain three putts, and then a runner goes to the next event where somebody had to chug a glass of wine, and then it was going to a trivia competition, and everything was a progressive relay with two teams racing each other. Swimming was a part of it. We had also, you know, you do the dizzy bat race, so be ambitious there too.
Yeah. Send me that video. Any ideas will be helpful.
All right, we'll do it. Appreciate it, Ian, and look forward. There's a bunch of other things we can talk about, but continued good health to you, and hope everybody is able to stay in shape. As we let you go, from what you're hearing, do you think that any of these plans that have been floated for the Arizona plan or the grapefruit cactus plan, are you hearing anything that you think might actually be viable?
I think right now they're just exhausting every possible option. You have to have all these plans in place. You have to think through them from a logistics standpoint, from a time standpoint. And then once we as a union and the league finds out more about CDC recommendations, about where we're headed as a country from a gathering standpoint, I think then some decisions can be made. But if we're not brainstorming now, if we're not trying to figure out every possible solution, then once the time comes, we'll be behind. So I think they're doing the right things in trying to figure out every possible way to play baseball games this year. And I know all the players are just hoping that we'll find a way to get them in somehow.
All right, Ian, continued good health, and look forward to speaking again soon. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
That is Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs, who was finding some unique ways to keep himself busy, and you know they're so modest. When he says, you know, his game is just kind of coming along with tennis, I guarantee you that these guys are playing tennis at a high level. Absolutely guarantee you. It is time for us to play America's increasingly favorite game show, because I said so. And I give you a statistical profile of an athlete. And then I ask you, who am I? We've done all sorts of different things, and the text line always goes crazy when I do this. Now, don't cheat on this one, because I'm going to keep this really simple. And this was something that I caught my eye the other day, and I couldn't answer this. I did not get this one, and it took me forever, and it would have taken me a while, even given an opportunity to start going through it. And this is going to be very, very simple. I'm only going to give you one aspect that you need to know. I am the current active MLB stolen base leader. Who am I? We have the answer and more when we come back. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Dan Bernstein asks, who am I?
Harris kind, I don't know. Brown.
Oh, he's tall.
Yeah, he's kind of tall, sort of tall. And he's like always wearing
T-shirts.
Yeah.
Who am I?
So he's sort of tall.
Kind of.
With hair.
Yeah.
And he wears T-shirts sometimes.
Yes.
On 670 The Score.
All right, this is one I never would have gotten. And I saw this and I said, that can't be right. That absolutely cannot be right. But the question is very simple. And I said, who am I? I am the current active MLB stolen base leader. And by a mile, too. It's not even close. And it's not really a trick question because I wasn't going to be starting this year on an MLB roster because I had accepted a job for the Acereros de Monclova of the Mexican League after a long MLB career that had taken me, let's see, it was Pirates, Giants, Athletics, Blue Jays, Tigers, Indians, Athletics, Red Sox, Indians, Mets. So that was a long list of teams that has now led me to the Mexican League, but I remain technically an active player relative to MLB. After 14 years, 38 years old, with 415 stolen bases, I am Rajai Davis. Nice job by most of the texters and some good guesses on there. But indeed, Rajai Davis, 415 stolen bases. The next closest is D. Gordon with 330. Then Elvis Andrus with 302. And Billy Hamilton with 299. You know, that used to be, that 300 used to be three seasons for the top base stealers for, you know, the Vince Coleman, Tim Raines, Ricky Henderson years back when that was something that you did and it was a skill that was valued. What a snapshot this really is for what we now understand about the value of an out and with the risk reward involved in trying to steal bases, not to mention injury risk. But that is, you look at some of these names. So I'll put this out there. While I have the list open in front of me, who do you think is the top ranking current Cub on this list? Which current Cub do you think is highest on the list of active stolen base leaders? Because there's an easy answer of a former Cub on here, Dexter Fowler. For context here, Dexter Fowler is 24th with only 147. The highest ranked current Cub in active of stolen bases among active players is 28th with 135. Any guesses? Who do you think that is?
Jason Hayward.
He's next. That is a really good guess, because Jason Hayward, as I scroll down, is 42nd with 110. But he is the next closest to this guy, who is 32 years old. He's played 9 seasons. He's got 135 steals.
Steven Souza Jr.
No, but you're on the right track because he just joined the team.
Who am I missing?
Their probable starting second baseman.
Jason Kipnis?
Jason Kipnis is your answer. as weird as that is. And nobody on the text line guessed him. Ha ha! Gotcha! Hayward would be the smarter guess, but nope, nobody got him. Jason Kipnis was the answer to that. But boy, it's just for those of us that grew up in the stolen base era, when that was, everything was go, 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 run, 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 and make outs, make outs, make outs. So when we had Mike Florio on, Mike Florio made reference to something that I wanted to revisit when he was talking about this conference call today. And if you're just joining us, it's apparently going to be like the commissioners and a group of owners from various sports are all supposed to be talking to the president because the president wants his sports back. And maybe by talking to people, they think they can make sports come back. And one of the guys on the call is Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. And when he hangs up with this, he is going to pick up the phone and call McNeil and Parkins, the important call that he's going to make. He is scheduled to be on with Mac and Parkins today at 4:00. You absolutely do not want to miss that. But we hope that when all is said and done, they're still listening to the doctors and they're still letting the medicine and the science decide when sports is going to come back. And right now, America's doctor, the top infectious disease doctor in the country, is Anthony Fauci. And he talked to Snapchat's Peter Hamby on Wednesday. It was an interview of a week-long series. And this is him, this is Dr. Fauci, talking about how and when he thinks sports can come back.
People are still holding out hope for some kind of abbreviated baseball season this summer. College football will start in late August, NFL right after that. Do you think those sports seasons are in jeopardy? Are we going to have college football this fall?
There's a way of doing that. Nobody comes to the stadium. Put them in big hotels, you know, wherever you want to play. Keep them very well surveilled, and namely a surveillance, but have them tested like every week and make sure they don't wind up infecting each other or their family, and just let them play the season out. I mean, people say, well, you know, you can't play without spectators. Well, I think you probably get enough buy-in from people who are dying to see a baseball game, particularly me. I'm living in Washington. We have the world champion Washington Nationals. You know, I want to see them play again.
Why am I laughing? It's what's with the music? Seriously, why do we need the thumping bass underneath Dr. Fauci talking? I picture as he's talking, he's actually dressed like MC Hammer in the "You Can't Touch This" video.
He was actually just listening to that music in his house when they were interviewing him. He refused to turn it down.
It just so happened that that's what he had on for his workout.
We've learned so much about Tony Fauci. He was a basketball player. He likes this, like, clubby type of music.
Mm-hmm. Having like the big genie pants on, just dancing left to right to left to right while he's talking.
Look, if anyone's going to lose their mind through all of this, it's going to be him. He's going to be the one to just off the deep end. I can't believe he's not just throwing his hands up and left already.
That's it. I'm out of here. The 630 text says, why is Dr. Fauci in a strip club while they're talking to him? He's getting a lap dance from Mike Pence. I'm sorry. I just couldn't take it seriously with the music. I know he's our last serious person. He's the one I'm saying everybody should be listening to. And I can't pay attention to what he's saying because of the stupid music.
I enjoyed it. That's I was awesome. Dancing in my seat here in my office/playroom. By the way, Ray and I found some Chinese baseball on Twitch this morning, and we were watching along while listening to the show. They're playing in a fully empty stadium, but they have piped in music, like, as the game's going on, and crowd chants. So, it worked. It was baseball, and I was watching it, and it was Chinese baseball, but it was live, and it was entertaining.
Was it Taiwan? I think it's Taiwanese baseball.
No, it was China. It was the CB.
Oh, was it? Okay.
But the CB, whatever it is, PL or whatever it is. But it was cool. And full HD on the Twitch app there. It was lovely.
How was the
and
quality
totally
of play?
Empty stadium. Except cheerleaders. They had cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I forgot that a lot of the Pacific Rim leagues employ the cheerleader squads. It's all choreographed cheering, generally with groups of fans. I know the Japanese take their cheering very, very seriously. So Dr. Fauci wasn't the only person talking about the return of sports. Our own governor, whose briefings you hear every day on the McNeil and Parkins show, J.B. Pritzker was on CNN, and he made it pretty clear what his criteria are going to be for bringing sports back.
Look, I come from a sports city, Chicago. I come from a state where sports are extraordinarily important to people. We want them back, too. And we want to work hard to make sure they do come back in a safe way. But we're not going to allow sports to reopen, you know, major league sports, unless we have all of these preconditions set, because I'm not going to have tens of thousands of people getting into an arena together and giving each other COVID-19.
Thank you. That is exactly what he should be saying. And he's been so great. He has been so practical and so reasonable and fearless with some of this stuff and how he's approached it and how he's just given us what we need as citizens of this state. And both he and Lori Lightfoot have been beacons of sanity and intelligence and hope for a future, and I appreciate it absolutely beyond belief. We're going to have a conversation in just a couple of moments with Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic. We've been meaning to talk to him. I've been meaning to compliment him on his food tastes, because the entire staff of The Athletic Chicago weighed in for really strong food content on their dogs, their pizzas, their Italian beefs, the comfort food. And by the way, at least near me, finally, Kraft macaroni and cheese is back on the shelves, because it was absolutely stone cold out for a while because of the run on Kraft macaroni and cheese, but it has been restocked. And the other good news is Passover ends at sundown tonight. So if that's what you've been craving, I know my family has demanded I make pasta carbonara tonight to celebrate the end of Passover, so I'm going to do that, because that's got everything involved. That's got the pasta and the bacon for them. But I'll tell you, it is really hard to beat. I mentioned that with the kids, they've been sort of reverting to comfort foods that they had when they were little kids. One of the things that I used to make for them was a cheesy peasy burger mac. And you basically do your, you know, you saute your ground beef, and then you make the Kraft mac and cheese. And instead of adding margarine when you throw everything in, you just use the rendered beef fat instead of the margarine. Then you throw in a handful of frozen peas and you stir the whole thing up, and it's just heaven. And that's what I think I'm craving. I think that I'm going to probably send off Passover this year with an entire pound of ground beef, an entire box of Kraft mac and cheese, and a big cup of frozen peas. That sounds damn good right now. Okay, now I'm hungry. Also thirsting for a conversation with Sahadev Sharma, which we will have next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The hour is brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including first responders and emergency personnel. Thank you for helping keep us safe. Dan Bernstein with you, 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. Oh, the Wednesday show, we're all past midway through the week at this point. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I don't know what date it is. But I know we're here. I know The Score is live and local. And we've been meaning to talk to Sahadev Sharma, because they're writing a lot of food stuff right now on The Athletic. And I just saw they put out the second edition with the tacos and wings and burgers and everything else. But Sahadev Sharma, he's at Sahadev Sharma on Twitter. He of the Cubs beat joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. I have to say, Sahadev, in that first edition, when you went Red Hot Ranch, Art of Pizza, Al's Beef, I'm nodding my head the whole way. You know your food. You're batting average on this thing, or you're on base percentage, however you want to phrase it. You're WRC plus. I think you're leading the pack.
Well, I mean, for me, we moved to Evanston about a year and a half ago now, and that's what I miss the most. It's the food in Chicago. It's hard to duplicate it, what you get in the city. Evanston's a great town. It doesn't compare. Living in the city and the food that you can get, whether it's walking distance, whether it's delivery, whether it's making a trek, you know, on the L somewhere, You can find so much great food in the city. So it's hard to duplicate that. And that's why, I mean, I'd say I took advantage of the decade and a half that I lived in the city proper and explored as much food as I can. And I certainly didn't do enough exploring. I need to, like, that's something that, you know, while being restricted to the house for the most part, I've kind of looked upon and said, you know what, I need to explore the south side of the city more and try more food there, because I hear so many good things, and I've just always put it off type thing, right? I have all the time in the world to go explore more food options, but that's something that I'm even more eager at reading other people's thoughts on what to eat. It's one of those things that I really I'm eager to explore again.
You know, it was cool to see, though, because with Evanston, now you have proximity to Buffalo Joe's. And yes, when I saw that, the fact that Buffalo Joe's for the pretty much swept the wings category there. And I always tell the story, Sahada, because my mother is from Buffalo. And for years, when I grew up, we would hear stories of these Buffalo wings. And when we would go visit grandma and grandpa and the cousins, if we would almost literally go right from the airport to Duff's or to Sonny's and to get buffalo wings. You could not get them here. They were not ubiquitous. They weren't some sort of, you know, national level food. The idea of buffalo wings was confined to Buffalo until Buffalo Joe's opened here. I want to say it was 79 or 80. And it was a game changer that all of a sudden we had representative buffalo wings that we didn't literally have to fly to Buffalo to get. And they kept it simple. They did it right. And they're still doing it right.
Yeah, to be honest, I hadn't explored much with wings in the city. Everything that I tried, it felt like it was like, this is just an average run-of-your-mill wing. And, you know, like, you know what bad wings are. They're just not enough meat on there. It's bony wings. It's like, look, this isn't edible, really. This isn't a full meal. But with Buffalo Joe's, the first time I had it, it was just like, this is what I was expecting. This is what I used to have back in college when we had good wings places, you know, that you could find a good wings place. Maybe I just didn't explore the city enough, but clearly it was, everyone else is agreeing that was another level at Buffalo Joe's. Like I wrote, I mean, I just moved to Davidson and it was the first recommendation I got. Everyone told me to go there. It wasn't ideal for me because I'm not kidding. It is half a block away from my old gym. And I would go to the gym, workout. Like, yeah, that was a great workout. This is a great idea. I'm glad. I'm feeling great. Ooh, I'm hungry. I always work out. You know how our schedules are when you're covering baseball. It's like the time I have is like right before I head to the ballpark for a night game. So lunchtime is usually when I'm working out. I'd be feeling great about myself. And they're like, I'm starving. Oh, yeah, wings sound good. It's just counteracting every workout that I did for weeks on end. So it's a blessing, but also a curse, I guess.
It's all about making room. That's the idea, that you put in the time to build, you create the space for that. And one of the taco joints that was mentioned, I think it was Powers that mentioned Los Tres Panchos on Diversey, which is a block down from my gym. And I used to live right there on Lincoln. And that's always the temptation for me because they make their own sopes. And I love a good toothsome sort of al dente kind of sope with the al pastor in there. And that was all, you know, you get the workout done. You're like, right. Oh my God, I'm famished. Oh good. Look what's here. As if I didn't know, as if it sort of surprises me every time. And I was like, oh, this is fortuitous. It's still here.
You know, I'll say this. You bring up tacos, and our city is known for Italian beef. It's known for pizza, hot dogs. I love all that food. You can't go anywhere without getting a good taco in this city. If you haven't found a good taco in this city, you're not searching. If you think, you know, fast food tacos are where it's at, then you've missed the city. And believe me, I've explored. That's the taco places are open late night. You can get during my 20s, I went out a lot in the city and those 2 a.m. tacos were saviors. And oh man, the amount of taco places I've been to, the amount of good tacos. That's why I felt like, you know, I listed 3 places and I just discovered El Patron about a year or two before we moved out of the city. And that place just took over my number one spot. But if you want to, like, I'm not going to argue with people about their taco places because I guarantee majority of the people that have really tried tacos in the city, they've found a great place because it's hard not to. There's so much good tacos in the city. And if you I mean, whatever you're, whatever, I'm a, you know, I'm a carne asada guy, I'm a chorizo guy, but, you know, I'll have whatever you're providing, because most of these places have great stuff. And it's, and I also appreciate that they have, like, the fancy taco places, right? There's Antique Taco, there's Big Star. Those are a little more fancy. It's not like the hole-in-the-wall taco place that you find. But they're both, you know, depending on what you're in the mood for, it's almost like deep dish versus, you know, tavern style. Like, depending on what you're in the mood for, you're going to have a good time.
I've always said it, that it's one thing about this city is that every independently owned taco stand is great, because chances are that, you know, grandma from Oaxaca is making the mole in the back. It's all real. There's, I mean, and I know that there are some chain places that are doing just fine and are perfectly good in their own right, but every independently owned taco stand in Chicago absolutely rocks. Now, there's one thing that I'm a little surprised at, and one thing that I need, if I'm checking my boxes here, that how can you have Sahadev Sharma as part of this and not ask about authentic Indian food and what your favorites are? Because we know the area around Devon has every region and every cuisine and all of the fabulous stuff. If you're craving soul food, where are you going?
Well, I mean, the trips to Devon Avenue were basically like a, you know, bi-monthly thing when I was a kid growing up. So I haven't been there since I was a teenager, maybe a little after, like the college years. I think I took some friends out to Devon Avenue, but that's not where I go anymore. And I probably need to, like, kind of explore it again. And, you know, my dad has taken my kids out there before and gotten, like, Indian sweets and stuff like that. But I haven't been out there in a while. When I lived in the city, I was in Humboldt Park, and there was this place called Rangoli on, like, North and Western. And we would drive by there all the time, and you could just smell it. You could smell the Indian food driving by. And finally we ordered from there, and it was my wife, who is Italian and wasn't that into Indian food before she met me. That's what converted her. That's the place that she's like, whoa, Indian food is another level. She did not realize, like, how good it could be. This place is ridiculous. I cannot find a better butter chicken in the city. I've tried butter chicken all over the place, because that's what my entire family loves, butter chicken. Mix that with some garlic naan, and just thinking about it, from Rangoli, I'm telling you, it's right on North, just a little west of Western. Man, that place does butter chicken better than it. Butter chicken is so easy to screw up, too. I've had so many different places that make it too sweet, or it's too watery, and it's just not, it ruins it completely. This place has the right amount of spice. It's right consistency. It's just the perfect butter chicken, and everything else they do is great. I mean, I love the samosas. I love the, you know, pollock paneer. All the different, like, things that they do are just it's so good. And I know you're big on the spicy. What's the spicy dish that's eluding me right now? I know you're big on that. I struggle with that one, just because I enjoy it for a little bit, and then all of a sudden I'm just sweating profusely, and nothing is registering on my tongue at all.
Oh no, that's part of it. That's part of the experience. I mean, it's not Indian food unless you're invested completely in a multi-sensory experience that lasts well beyond the meal itself. And the butter chicken I can recommend at Essence of India at Lincoln and Wilson. They know what they're doing there, because that's my go-to place. But it's the lamb Rogan Josh, which is like a brown sort of like a tomato gravy kind of thing, where if you ask for it extra spicy, they will deliver. They'll figuratively and literally. And I guess the dish is Kashmiri, and there are both Indian and Pakistani versions of it.
Sure.
Because it's sort of crossed over. But oh my God, that is, like, I can smell it before I even open the door. Like when the car pulls up, I know the lamb Rogan Josh is coming, because I can feel it in the air. Like, my spider sense starts tingling, and now I am absolutely starving. So before we let you go, though, real quick, what's the deal with your LinkedIn photo?
Oh dear. That is my wedding photo, and I'm so rarely on LinkedIn. I never changed it, and now that it's become a thing, I'm never going to change it again. I think my editor, John Greenberg, rediscovered it and was like, what is this? I show it to other beat writers across the country, and they just think it's the funniest thing ever. It's me without a beard, which I don't have right now. I have no facial hair, but I also have hair at the time. So it's me. When did I get married? 2008. So from 12 years ago, the picture is taken where you can't see that I was balding. So it looks like I have a full head of hair and I have no facial hair. So it's just a completely different person from, you know, years ago. It's pretty funny. I've shown that to people and they're like, why are you showing me this person that kind of looks like you? Is this supposed to be a joke of some sort? Like, no, that's me.
Oh, it's hilarious. I got such a laugh out of it. It was made my day. Anyway, Sahada, great catching up. Good to talk. Thanks.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Take care.
That is Sahadev Sharma. We thank him for joining us today. We also thank Sarah Jindra on that traffic mess up earlier today. She was helping us out. Mike Florio joined us. Josh Noel joined us. And Ian Happ was part of the show as well. Thanks to Jay Zawoski. Thank you to Ray Diaz. We are back tomorrow with more. And Lawrence Holmes is standing by. He's got Anthony Heron, who's coming up to talk some football. So have a great day. Stay socially distant, wash your hands, wear your mask, be smart, listen to doctors, and only listen to people who listen to doctors. We will talk again tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.